I want to show you a slide. This is a slide that I used a few weeks ago. The teenagers helped us to fill it in. It's the slide of the story of the Bible. Okay, the words that Jesus just said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, so weighed down by weight that's too big." Okay. And it's not a bag they're carrying, it's something in their heart, it's something in their minds, it's ideas and thoughts about God and thoughts about their life, weighing them down. And Jesus is going to help people. But this story of the Bible helps us to see where it all fits in. I said to you that God reigns. God, the Bible starts with God creating all things, and therefore he rules all things. Things that he's made, everything that we see, everything belongs to God because he's the king. But we rebel. And this is where the weight comes in. We live lives without loving God, which means we try to run lives our own way. And that's where the weight comes in. That's where the burdens come in. Now, thankfully, God is kind. Kinder than our turning our back on him. And so God rescues. He comes and he wants to lift that burden. He wants to turn us to him. He wants to make us friends with him again so that we would love him and follow him. And here's the bit we're on today. We respond. The passage that we're looking at today is about people not able to trust, to respond to God in trust. Boys and girls, when Jesus makes promises, what he wants from us is to trust him. When he says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest," he wants us to trust him that when we come to him and believe in him, he'll look after us and he'll take our burdens away. He'll forgive us and he'll stay with us forever and ever and ever. Okay. And that's what we'll be looking at today. How people respond to Jesus. The Bible story finishes with this. God renews. Okay. He will change those who trust in him. Isn't that good? None of us are left as we are when we come to Jesus. He changes us completely. And so that fourth point in the Bible story about us responding is where the words of Jesus fit in today. Now, a few weeks ago, we learned this memory verse. Does this ring a bell? Okay. I'm going to ask you, it didn't sound as if a lot of you were singing that one, so you have to take part in the memory verse bit, okay? Boys and girls, once you get to your seats, just have a look at the screen. We learned this memory verse a few weeks ago, okay? And the accents went something like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Does that ring a bell? Okay, we're going to say that together as a way of reminding ourselves. Because when Jesus talks about taking our burdens and giving us rest, it's just one other way in which he's showing his love to us and for us. So shall we say this together after two? One, two. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And that's Psalm 107, verse 1. Let me teach you today's memory verse, okay? Come to me, okay? That's easy, isn't it? Come to me, all who labor. Now, when you're tired and hot and sweaty, sometimes we do this and we wipe the sweat off our forehead. Oh, wow, I'm really hot. Okay, so it's come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Okay? You can't do that. Well, okay, well, when we practice it, you can stand up. Okay? So it's come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, I'm going to do this for rest. Okay? The idea of being lifted, the burdens being lifted. Because when Jesus says rest, he doesn't mean this kind of rest, okay? He doesn't mean fall asleep. He means life under him is good. Because his steadfast love endures forever. Okay? Should we do that together? After two. One, two. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? Now that's brilliant. I want to see the heavy laden bit a little bit. So if you can you stand up? Okay? If you can. And if you can't, you just have to double slump while you're sitting. Okay? Alright? That's the way it works. Okay? You ready, boys and girls? Want to see this? Because at the end of the service, I'll have you down here practicing this. Okay? You ready? After two. One, two. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Very good. And I will give you rest. Brilliant. Sit down. That was a fantastic heavy laden action. Well done. That was definitely worth getting up for. Okay? All right. That's the verse I we're going to think about. And we're going to think about it as it affects different people in different ways. Have you ever asked a question or thought to yourself, I don't really get this? It's funny how we scratch our heads sometimes, isn't it? When we're just not sure. Just not sure. It's as if our brains are hurting. Well, when Jesus talks about giving rest to the weary, there are three different weary people or groups of people in chapter 11. Now, if it had time, I would have read the whole chapter to you. But I'm going to tell you parts of the story. Okay? This head-scratching experience for John the Baptist, who's a friend of Jesus, and he's sent by God to point to Jesus and say, everybody trust in him. Okay? That's John's job. And he does that. And he does it really well. And one day, he says, behold, look, don't miss out, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. People were coming to John and paying attention to him, and he was saying, you need to go to him, Jesus. He's the one who can heal you of your sins and forgive you. He's the one who'll take your sins away. And that way he's talking about Jesus giving us rest. And we find in the first part of John chapter 11, John's not out and about pointing to Jesus saying everybody trusted him. John's in prison. One of the things that happens to Christians quite often is when they speak God's truth is they get in trouble with people who don't like to hear God's truth. And King Herod didn't like what he heard from John. John told King Herod his life wasn't good. There was some parts of his life he needed to change. King Herod didn't want to change, so he locked him in prison. And John is in prison, and John's friends come and tell John all about what they see and hear from Jesus. But John's got a question. John is in prison, and it could be the case that he's expecting when Jesus arrives, everything would change. But actually it seems quite slow. John's in prison. Not everybody's listening to John, not everybody's listening to Jesus. Jesus is slowly going around different areas. Some things are changing, but not everything. Maybe John's thinking, it's all a bit slow, this. Or maybe John is thinking, I'm in prison, and although my friends can come and see me, they can't stay. I can't go for walks with them. I can't eat with meals with them. I can't teach them. I can't point to Jesus in the same way. I'm alone, and that makes life hard. Things are slow. I'm alone. And life is hard. Is this what God promised? And so John's got a question. And he sends the question to Jesus. And his question goes like this. Are you the one we've been waiting for? Or do we look for another? Jesus, are you it? Are you the one that God's promised? Or do I look for somebody else? John is carrying a burden of disappointment. He's alone, things are slow, and things are hard. Kind of burden of disappointment. And Jesus lifts that burden and gives him rest. Let me show you how he does that. This is Jesus' response. Jesus answered them. So John's friends go back to Jesus and say, John's asked this question, are you the one we're waiting for? Are you the one that's sent by God? Are you the one who's come to rescue us? And this is what Jesus says. Can we read this together? Let's read it together. After two. One, two. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. That's Jesus' response. He could have said, John, of course I'm the one who's come from God. But he gives them this message, and it's a massive clue. It's a massive clue in the mystery that John's scratching his head over. And what he's doing there is he's taking the Old Testament promises when God said, when I come as a rescuer, I'm going to come like this. I'm going to do all these things. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And that's a sign. All of those are massive clues that God has turned up on earth to save. And so that's what he says. He gives John all those clues. Like, this is what's happening. So John, you know that I'm the one you've been waiting for. You know that I'm the one that God has sent. And that would have helped John lift the burden of disappointment. Jesus is God rescuing. And when we remember that he's come, he has come, and he is rescuing, that lifts our burdens of disappointment. Jesus is alive today, and his job is to do stuff like that, to show that God is rescuing. And that's one of the experiences that John had of Jesus. This burden of disappointment, and he learned that if I remember that Jesus is from God, and he's come to rescue, that lifts our burden of disappointment. Doesn't it? Life is full of many challenges, full of many things, but there are many challenges. And often we can become wearied and heavy laden. But John was told by Jesus that God in Jesus is active to save. He's the one we've been waiting for. And we look back and say, God's active, he's saving, he's rescuing people. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And so this burden, this weariness is replaced by the rest of trusting in Jesus and what he's doing. Boys and girls, grown-ups too, you hear a lot from junior church, from clubs and from church about Jesus being the King, the Saviour. And it only works for us when we trust in him like that. We could hear the news all day long, but unless we trust in him for ourselves, he won't be our King. He won't be our Saviour. And John had the opportunity again of continuing to trust in him. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Simon, can you find us the PowerPoint with the memory verse on, please? Come on to me. Okay, we're going to do the actions for the memory verse. Okay, and we're going to just make sure the adults are paying attention so they're doing the actions as well. Okay, you ready? Just the next asset, lovely. Okay, you ready? After two, everybody? One, two. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brilliant. Go and have a seat down. Sit down with your mums and dads. Thank you, guys. Thank you. John was given rest from his disappointment as he trusted that Jesus was God in action on earth. The next group of people who carry a burden in Matthew 11, it's a number of different people in different cities. When might we not hear somebody speak to us? Someone's talking to you and you don't hear them. Has that ever happened to you? I'm going to ask the adults for a second. Has that ever happened to you in school? The teacher had to say, daydreamer, or something like that. That ever happened to you? You're looking out the window, chatting to your friends. Teacher's talking to you, and you didn't hear them because you were a million miles away, okay? Dreaming about lunch or home or whatever, looking out the window. Sometimes we can not hear someone because actually we're just not paying attention. We're just miles away, daydreaming. Sometimes we might not hear somebody because, well, there's just too much noise going on. Maybe you're in a busy place and someone's talking to you. You can see their mouth moving, but you can't pick out what they're saying. The older I get, the more that happens. It's funny, that. And sometimes we don't hear someone speaking to us because actually there's, well, we might have headphones or earphones and we might be deliberately cutting everything else off. Sometimes we might not hear somebody because we do something like this. You ever done that? I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear that noise. I don't want to hear your voice. Maybe a child's having a bad day and they do this to their parents, are talking to the teacher, and there's a grumpy face. Okay? There are cities where Jesus visits, villages and towns and cities, and they're doing this. It's not that they're daydreaming. It's not that there's lots of noise and they're listening to somebody else. It's that they're deliberately not listening. They don't want to hear Jesus speak. So they're covering their ears and ignoring him. And he wants to talk to them about that. So you see, John's burden was that he didn't understand everything. This people, their burden, the weight they're carrying is because they don't want to listen to Jesus. And that can happen too. They didn't want to listen because, well, they've ignored John the Baptist. They thought he was weird. He looked and acted weird, so they ignored him. And then Jesus came, and he hung around with people that they would never hang around with. He was friends with sinners. Well, they would never do that. So they ignore Jesus as well. So they ignore John, who points to Jesus, and they ignore Jesus, who points to God. I don't want to hear. John was in trouble because he was disappointed. These people are in trouble because they're not listening to God. And Jesus speaks to them. Let me just put on the screen. There are three places he mentions. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. If you live in Southport, it's a bit like saying Churchtown, Ainsdale, and Burscough. Okay? So they're all within a stone's throw of each other. They're just miles away from each other. Okay? It's not widely spread out. And these are places, Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters for a large part of his time. He spent a huge amount of time in Capernaum. In other words, the people of that place saw and heard Jesus a lot. A lot of the miracles were done there. A lot of his teaching was done there. They knew Jesus well. But they were still not listening. At Bethsaida is just 2 miles down the road. And Chorazin as well. All very close by. And these three places, who had seen Jesus a lot, Jesus had been in those places a lot, were not listening. And so Jesus does something to shock them. There was once I was not listening to my maths teacher. And I sat at the back of class. And my maths teacher was a cricket player, a cricketer. And he could throw things really precisely. So he picked up, this is a history lesson, he picked up the blackboard duster, okay? I know you don't know what that is. But the blackboard was written on chalk and the chalk was rubbed off. And this duster was a bit like a pencil case in size. And he threw it at me. Now the problem was, I wasn't listening to him because I was talking to my friend. So as he threw the duster at me, I didn't see it until it was about there. And then I ducked. It missed me, but it got the back wall. And a bang! And he said, Stuart. No, actually he said, Harding. That's how we were talked to. Harding, are you listening? I am now, sir. Was the answer. Well, Jesus speaks to these places. He talks to Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. Are you listening? And they weren't. So he shocks them. And he says, he names three places from the Old Testament. And these three places you would not want to go and stay in. You would not want to go and visit. You wouldn't go on holiday. Okay? You wouldn't go to college or university there. These were terrible places, and terrible because they were filled with pride. They thought they were great, so much so they thought they were more important than God. And God punished them for that pride. And Jesus was saying, had I done what I've done to you, my miracles and my teaching, had I done all those things there, these places would have trusted in me. But I've done all these things before you, and you're not trusting in me. You're in more danger than they were. That's the blackboard duster coming to their head. You're in more danger than they were, says Jesus. If you keep not listening, the punishment that you deserve will come. And Jesus didn't want that. Now, boys and girls, this is really important. Grown-ups too. When Jesus talks about punishment, the wonderful thing is, he has come to be punished himself so that we who deserve that punishment don't get that punishment. We get God's love and mercy and kindness. So when Jesus talks to Chorazin, Bethsaida and Capernaum and the people in it and said, you're in more danger than Tyre, Sidon and Sodom. He's come to take their punishment for them. And what they need to do now is to listen and be changed by Jesus. Their burden was that they were in trouble because they weren't listening to Jesus. And Jesus continues to speak to them about the rest that he offers, the rest from this punishment that's on its way. We can rest, we can know rest from Jesus as we listen to his voice. There are lots of voices to listen to in the world. Lots of voices will tell us what we should think about ourselves, what we should think about God. But we can know rest, not the heavy burden stuff, but the rest, as we listen to the voice of Jesus. He speaks truth that gives life. So can I encourage you, if you've not been in your Bible this week and you've not been listening to the voice of Jesus, that needs to change. Because through listening to Jesus and taking on his words, listening to his promises, listening to his warnings, that is life, that is rest. Doing this to Jesus is not rest. You will be wearied and burdened for the rest of your life if you keep doing that. And that's not what Jesus wants for you or for us. Now, in the name of, just for the sign desk, guys, I'm just going to skip the next song and just keep going, okay, just for a few minutes, okay? The last group of people that Jesus speaks to is people who feel that heavy burden. When Joseph and Daniel sort of got back to the platform, bags on, and I offered them to swap, and they said yes. It would have been awful if I'd given them a heavier bag again, wouldn't it? Here you go. Take that one off and give you a heavier. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus takes off the weight of our sin and our life without God, and he gives us a rest, a life with God forever. And what he does is he assures us of what he's like inside, so that we will trust in him. So he says in verses 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you hear what he says next? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle and lowly in heart. When people realize they need Jesus and they ask him for help, they come to him, not full of pride like Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, but they come to him asking for help. This picture of Jesus being gentle and lowly in heart is Jesus being open-armed to all and any who will come to him. He will take anybody. And he will take anybody, not with a pointed finger, but with open arms and a loving heart. Now that is true for anybody who comes to Jesus for the first time. But it's also true for the Christian who finds out in the Christian life they keep needing Jesus. And that's the Christian life, isn't it? We keep needing Jesus. And how do when we come back to him, when we return to him, when we keep coming to him, when we keep listening to him, he's not scolding us. Open, gentle and lowly. Open arms. That's what he's like. And he'll never be any different. That's really important. Sometimes as Christians, we can have the burden that Jesus will be so angry with us that it's not worth the hassle coming back. But if he's gentle and lowly, and his arms are open wide, and he'll receive anybody and anybody who comes to him, he'll receive you as you come back to him. Do you see how important that is? For the adults among you, can I recommend, there's a book entitled Gentle and Lowly. Some of the women in the book club a few months ago, you read it and you enjoyed it. Commend it highly to you. There's a podcast version where the author speaks of those chapters. That's worth listening to as well. Just that drip, drip, drip effect of look how tender and wonderful and patient and kind and loving Jesus is for every burden that I carry. I encourage you. If you're thinking of Jesus and you're not thinking of an open-armed, loving-hearted Jesus, you've got the wrong Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because he's gentle and lowly, humble in heart. We can trust him with everything about ourselves, and he'll never change. Can we do the memory verse one more time? And then we'll sing. But can I encourage you, boys and girls, to trust in Jesus, even today? Can I encourage you, grown-ups, if you've never done it, why not? There is no one like him who is gentle and lowly, open-armed and loving-hearted. Why not today? Ask him for his help, and he will help. He will help. Let's do the memory verse one more time, and then we'll sing together. You ready? After two? Shall we stand up for this one? And then we'll stay standing for the song. Is that okay? We'll do that. You can do the heavy laden action properly. Okay? Thank you. After two. One, two. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.